Hello and welcome to our thyroid assessment module, part four, which is where we're going to go through a real life case using the master tracker. And this is a case submitted by one of your classmates. So before we jump right in and begin, I want to make sure again that you're aware that this is not meant to replace the advice of a qualified healthcare professional. It's not medical advice. It's really just a sharing of knowledge and information from my research, from my clinical experience of over 25 years. And I want you guys to be very cognizant when you're talking about this stuff to your clients that you're not reading a lab for the purpose of diagnosis, you're not making a diagnosis, and you're not supplying a treatment plan. What you're doing is helping them to understand what's really going on inside their body by looking at the way it's showing up on a lab test and just explaining to them some of the pathways and things that might be suggestive of the findings on the lab. And then when you give them quote-unquote advice, it's not really advice per se, it's education to help them to know what sorts of things have been used successfully, you've used successfully, or in the literature that can help to reverse imbalances that you're seeing on their lab work. So just make sure that you're just very clear of the language that you use. So before we jump in and look at the lab itself, let's just review what we've been talking about over and over and over again in this module. I want you to make sure that you're using a full assessment, not just jumping right in and looking at labs. It's a little bit different in these cases where I'm jumping in and looking in labs, and I'm going to show you as we go through this case how you can collect and store and maintain the information that you get. So it's all in one place and makes it real easy to understand and to ask for help with understanding. So the signs and symptoms questionnaire is super, super important. Just gives you a score that you can then revisit from time to time, every 4 to 6 weeks, just to see if what you've been putting them on, the lifestyle and diet program you've put them on, is actually making a difference. You can talk to them about their history and medication use, and you certainly can't tell them to go off a medication, but you can tell them the side effects of that medication and how it can impact their thyroid, and have them talk to their doctor about those medications. And you've got a detailed medication list with a list of the kind of things that they do. You've also got physical exam signs, and I gave you you've also got physical exam signs to look at. And even if you're not licensed to touch people and do physical exams, or if you're doing things over the internet, there are ways that you can actually look at the person and have them look at themselves and check things off. And I gave you some indications of home exam things that they can do. And then the temperature. Again, along with the signs and symptoms questionnaire, this is something that you can repeat monthly and just see how they're doing. And it's a great indicator for the thyroid as to how the thyroid's actually going, you know, because the temperature changes as the thyroid starts to increase the metabolic rate in the system. And then finally, labs, which is what we're going to go through today in this particular case. Let's jump in and look at this case. So this is one of your classmates. What she didn't do is give me a lot of background information, so I'm kind of shooting in the dark, but this is great because it gives us a history of where she came from. This is her thyroid labs. She is, if we go back to the sheet, this is your master tracker, which you all have access to, and I highly recommend that you be using on a regular basis. She is 5'7". 158 pounds and 55 years old. Her current weight is 158. Her desired weight is 135. She's 5'7". Let me just show you what we missed out on filling in here and what I highly recommend that you fill out on this for all your clients so you keep everything in one place. You can ask them about their goals and visions and where they want to be and put that up at the top. You can list their present complaints, when they started, the current severity, and the priority. And I'll show you on another sheet where that moves ahead so that you can keep track of them. There's also a spot where you can put their past illnesses, like mom had surgery for thyroid cancer or they had surgery for whatever. And all that. So you can just keep track of that so that when you're meeting with a person, you just have to look in this one place, flip through really quickly and be up to speed as opposed to trying to go through paper notes, which from my perspective is really hard to do. Habits and obstacles. You can list all of their good supporting habits, their health depleting habits, and what challenges they've had in implementing. findings and plan. And this is something you can fill out after you've met with them, kind of like what kind of things can they do, health supporting actions in each of the areas, and help depleting actions to release and notes, and you can give that to them. Keeping track of your appointments, health scorecard. This is where you would keep track of those scorecards. There's the different assessments, and you can see as we scroll down it, the hormone assessments are there. So here's the thyroid. It's part of the hormone and gland assessment. So you can go back, and we also have a separate thyroid assessment. We've pulled those questions out, and you can use that. In the health timeline, you can keep track of all those symptoms get moved over here along with the onset, the severity, and the priority. So all you have to do is start to fill in details as you talk to them and then put dated updates here for each of those symptoms, like better, worse, same, not discussed. Supplements, really good. It would be really good to know if our particular case here was on supplements, what she was taking. There's a medications tab. She doesn't list it, but she does list her medication in the tracker. I'll show you that. And then there's a bunch of other stuff in here that we won't go through, but those are the ones that I think are important to fill out for every case. Here's her labs. So we've got the section of the master tracker for thyroid labs. That's right here. And what we see is that she's got dates. What you're seeing on the screen all the way back through 1097, most of these she didn't fill in, but I wanted to show you back in 1994, she did fill in her thyroid antibodies. So back in 1994, her thyroid antibodies were 35, so she wanted to put that in so we see that. So her thyroid antibodies were 35. Let's go back over and take a look at where she's at right now. And now it's 1. So whatever diet, lifestyle things she's been putting into place have really impacted for the better her thyroid condition. And you can see that she's had the antibodies went down in 2001. And then further down in 2013, and now the latest as of 17 are down to 1. So she's pretty much cleared away her autoimmune condition. Would we call her Hashimoto's at 35? Well, it's still above the lab range. So technically, medical doctors might say, yes, you have Hashimoto's. Some of them would say, eh, it's too low. Don't bother with it. Wait till it gets higher, which I think is very irresponsible. But that's the way it goes. That's the way some of it is practiced. So let's just look at what else she has. When we look, we've been taught to look at everything, starting with the TSH. And we see that in her most recent exam, her TSH is 3.1, whereas before it was lower. 2002, she was on 15 grams of Armour thyroid. 2003, she was on 25 micrograms of Unithroid. It doesn't make a note of anything else that she's been on after that. So we look, these numbers were well in control. Her T4 number looks really good. It's just pretty consistent throughout. Her T3, total T3 at 100, right at the range back in 13. We don't have a number for the most recent one, but we do have a free T4, and we see a 1.2, and then we see a free T3 of 2.6. So right away, what are you thinking here? The free T4 is normal. It's in a healthy range. The free T3 is below that range. We're thinking thyroid underconversion. And if we look back to her numbers in the past, that's always been an issue for her, except for this one time in 2003 when that was in the normal range. So it's pretty consistent. It's pretty consistent range, 2.5-ish, a little bit below and a little bit above. So she's been having some issues with her free T3 and her conversion for a long time. So we stop and we say, okay, what are the things that can affect this conversion? Well, number one, we want to rule out illness, acute illness usually. And since it's been happening for a long time, it's probably not an acute illness at the time that this was taken, because sometimes it temporarily goes down if they have a flu or a virus or they're suffering from pneumonia or something like that. So it's definitely not that. So we want to look to see, how's her gut? Is her gut imbalanced? Does she have a leaky gut? Does she have a hidden gut infection? We want to look at her liver. How are her liver detox pathways going? Sometimes in folks who have genetic things like MTHFRs and NATs and various other genetic SNPs, that can be an issue. So we'd want to look at how's her liver. We want to look at how's her selenium levels, because selenium is directly related, and zinc and magnesium. So we want to look at her minerals. If we're looking at her minerals, we want to look at how's her stomach acid. And we have the rest of this lab so we can peek back and see if some of those other things are issues. right? We also want to look at, is there an inflammatory condition and how are her adrenals, right? So those are all the questions you want to ask and get answers to so that you can help a person optimize their conversion from T4 to T3. Because if their free T3 is low, no matter how good their T4 is or TSH is or how low their antibodies are, there's a good chance that they're going to be suffering from low energy and some thyroid symptoms. So that's what we're seeing here. Pretty straightforward. We might have a receptor resistance as well. The receptor resistance can be caused by a lot of the same factors that the conversion can be caused by. So let's just look back and see. And we don't know if she's still on medication, although this says she was here. We don't say it here, so I'm assuming she's not. Okay, so let's look back. This is her master tracker. Her glucose is a little high, so we want her to be looking at blood sugar balance. You can follow that up with getting a meter and testing the blood sugar at various points, especially capturing the peak. Right? So you take the blood sugar before the meal, you take it right after, you take it at 15, 30, and 45 minutes at an hour, and you map out the peak. Where does it peak and then start to come back down again and then start to do that for various foods? This might be a fluke. It could be she was a little nervous because she was at the lab, which would cause a little bit of cortisol, which would increase the blood sugar. The other thing I see that's a little bit on the low side, just borderline, is her blood urea nitrogen. That could be suggestive of low protein intake. It also could be suggestive of malabsorption and low stomach acid. And low stomach acid is going to affect her mineral absorption, which, of course, there's a lot of mineral cofactors related to thyroid. The other thing we see that's a little bit on the low side is her potassium. And again, that goes up with the minerals, right? We said before, well, possibly some of the minerals are low, like selenium or zinc or magnesium, and that's causing the lack of conversion. Low potassium could also be an indicator of low functioning adrenals, so low cortisol levels, more of an adrenal exhaustion. And if we look back at her previous numbers back in 2001, in November 2001, she actually had a 5, which is high. And so what we might interpret that could be that she's in a hyperadrenal state. So she could have been in a state of excitation, lots of stress, maybe even a stage 1 adrenal fatigue. And now she's depleted her adrenal reserve and is in a stage 3. So it just is more feedback that we need to check her adrenals as a part of this issue. Phosphorus is another indication that there might be low stomach acid. The rest of this looks pretty good, except her cholesterol is high and her LDLs are high. And that's very common when someone has a thyroid problem. But if we look back over at where she was taking the Armored Thyroid, her cholesterol was normal. So this is where you're going to be asking a lot of things related to her diet, related to her lifestyle. But also, it could be the thyroid is just, because of the low T3, is causing that. So this could be a cause and effect. It could be poor fats in her diet, and those are the things you want to ask her as well. Sometimes, though, if there's an adrenal issue, we might see the cholesterol being high and it's not being converted into via acetyl-CoA, which is a B5-dependent enzyme, into pregnenolone, which is a precursor to cortisol. So we definitely want to look at adrenals in this particular case to see if some of those other hormones are out of balance. And addition of B5 at 500 milligrams 3 times a day has been shown to help with that. So that's certainly something to look at. If we look also down below, let's see what her other issues might be. White blood cells look good. Her red blood cells are a tiny bit out of the optimal range, a little bit on the high side, but not high enough for us to be thinking, you know, hemochromatosis or something like that, but more likely that she's a little bit dehydrated. Her hemoglobin is a little on the high side as well, same thing. Her MCV is an important indicator, 94, a little on the high side, which suggests to me that there's a B12 folate issue. Here we have some issues that indicate that there might be some sort of an infection going on. It might be an acute infection because I don't see anything going on in the previous one, although we only have one. But her neutrophils are low, her lymphocytes are high, and that's suggestive of a viral infection. So there may be some sort of a viral infection. It might be acute because we don't see indications of it before, so it might be worthwhile to go back and retest this at about 2 to 3 months and see what the numbers look like then. If there is an acute virus going on, that could affect the T4 to T3 conversion. Although in this particular case, we're seeing that it's been chronically a low T3, so it may not be a result of that. Her monocytes are high, which means there's usually either a chronic or an acute healing phase of an infection. When we look back at her results in 2013, her monocytes were 9, which were even higher. So this could be a chronic infection that's been brewing for a long time that's impacting her thyroid. And her eosinophils are high, which is suggestive to me of either allergy or parasites. In the past, they were high, but not quite as high as they are right now. So I'd be looking for an allergy or parasite. And her basophils are high as well, which more cements me and leads me more towards thinking about parasites. So there could be some sort of an infection. It could be a parasitic infection. It could be in the gut that's affecting the conversion of T4 to T3. Could be something that's been there for a while, or that there's allergies plus this infection as well. But sometimes viral infections are latent for a long time, and then they become activated when the immune system is low. So I tend to think in terms of asking a lot more questions about what's going on. So see how we marked this over here, viral issue, right? Viral acute and healing stages, allergy, parasites. This is your interpretation area. It's not 100%. It's not going to give you a diagnosis. What it's going to give you is some things to be looking at when you see things out of balance. So that's all I have for this particular case. You see, as in most cases, when we don't have a complete history, the labs actually lead to more questions than answers. So we have a lot of questions outstanding. Let me go ahead and summarize what those questions might be. Number one, we want to look at her gut. We want to see if she has some sort of parasitic infection going on there. We want to see if she has any other indications of viral infection. Maybe she's had mono in the past and she's got a flare-up of an EBV infection. Maybe there's a hepatitis. Maybe there's just some other kinds of viral thing that's going on. We don't know much about her recent exposures and her history between the last time she was taking medication and not. And we want to look at her adrenals, look at her gut health, look at her liver health, and make sure she's getting enough selenium, because this has been a chronic issue going on, and it could be low minerals and it could be low stomach acid. So lots of things that we have to pursue with this particular client just by looking at labs, where I don't know really the history of this person at all, but look at all the information that I got just by looking at these labs and helping to see what's going on. But congratulations on getting the antibodies down. That's a good sign. Something's going right, but there's still some things out of balance that she needs to correct. In summary, these are the labs that we looked at, and you've got a good feel now on looking at them. And it's really important to look at most, if not all, of these. Now that we've looked at these, we can use the tools I've given you. So you can use the tools to look. We've already done that. We don't have to do step one. We just did it. But you might have had to mark them in order to be able to do that. So the pattern, step three, is number one pattern is that's showing on the labs is under conversion. But the other pattern that we have to make sure that we address is the issue of thyroid resistance. And here's the thing, based on this lab, there could easily be a high homocysteine because she's got a high MCV, which is suggestive of low levels of B12 and or folate. And homocysteine gets elevated when those are there. And then the elevated homocysteine causes a thyroid resistance. So we've got to look at that. And that could be contributing to the high cholesterol as well. So now we have a lot more questions. We're going to ask a lot more questions, get some answers, put her on some kind of protocol, and follow up very well. Okay, so that's the determining lab patterns. She had a slightly high TSH out of the normal range, but she had definitely had this conversion. And I find that with mild elevations of TSH, we see that when just the T3 is low. When I was first learning, they said, oh yeah, it's really that the pituitary is reading the T4. And if the T4 is low, then the TSH is going to go up. But in reality, it's based on both the T4 and the T3. And I've borne that out in lots of experimentation with, you know, supplementing with T3 and watching what happens. TSH goes to nothing. So we actually do have both of them play into that. So we identified under conversion and possible resistance. Okay. And all of these things need to be looked at. Deficiency of cofactors, serotonin, dopamine, gut dysbiosis, inflammation, excess cortisol, again, inflammation, cortisol, deficiency of vitamin A, and elevated homocysteine. So all those things need to play in, and I'm sure that part of her protocol is going to be B vitamins, a follow-up stool test to see if there's any gut dysbiosis that needs to be addressed. So there's some of the nutrients that you can apply. But in this case, we just have more questions. We're not ready to apply the specific nutrition. This concludes this particular case. This is part 4 of the thyroid assessment module. Thanks so much for being here. And we'll wrap it up with part 5, which is just going to be a whole bunch of examples of me going through with live people on a call, going through their labs. So that should be very insightful as well. Thanks so much.